God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
In the cross, be my Lord forever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the
trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed his beams around me.
In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the
before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me.
In the cross, in the cross, be my Lord.
Still my ransomed soul. The Lord bless you. Thank you for coming back. Before we pray together, just to say that we've been walking through the two books, understanding the concepts and conditions for discipleship. And today, by God's grace, we shall be getting to chapter 5, that deals with victory over self. And we shall be looking at God's way out of the self-life that we described severally last 2 weeks. And we shall also, along the line, be also going through becoming like Jesus. And becoming like Jesus, we shall be attempting from chapter 7. Last time we met, I said whatever we didn't finish in that chapter 6, people should please study it and read it as their take-home assignment. But today we shall get into chapter 7 from this book, chapter 5, from the understanding the concepts and conditions for discipleship. I'd like us to please bow our heads to pray together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity you have given us again. Thank you for the song that has come to us near the cross. We ask, Father, that as we begin to look at what's your provision, what is God's way out of the life of Mr. Flesh, we saw that cutting these branches will not solve the problem. We found that even sweeping away the works he does will not stop him from producing again. So, Lord, we ask that as we go on studying the Word of God today, you will open our eyes of understanding. You will show us what you have provided as the way out from the life of the flesh, the human nature, so that we can have and become a partaker of the divine nature and carry a life that can be victorious all the way. Lord, we ask you to undertake for us as we study and open the eyes of understanding. We pray for all our brothers and sisters that are coming in from different parts of the world, those that are meeting as a group, churches that have adopted this as their weekly study, and other centers where people are gathering to study. We ask, Lord, that you walk in our midst and reach out to each one of us. And even those that are sitting as families and they are just going through this together, we ask also that you will please release grace upon our lives. Meet everyone at their point of need. There are others that are just on their own. They have taken time off to sit down for the Bible study. We ask, Lord, that in the corner of their own lives, reach out to each one of us. Lord, there are many different platforms. Some are just listening on the MixLR. Some are watching us on the YouTube. Others are participating on the Facebook. We do pray, God, for all of us, those that are following on the Telegram and other platforms. Please reach out to each one of us from different lands, from different nations, and even different tongues. Lord, and those who will only hereafter be able to sit down and go through the Bible study as it is captured, we also pray that at any point, let your Spirit come upon us and do a deep work in our hearts. Thank you. Thank you for us to go today. Please undertake for us and lead us by the leading of your hand. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Right, we thank God for how he has led us thus far and what we have seen him do in our lives. We'll be having our brethren to assist both in reading scriptures and reading portions of the materials in our hands. Sister Jenner, coming to us from California, and our sister Sarah, who comes to us from Belize. And of course, our brother Clarence, who has been coordinating, he comes to us from San Francisco. The Lord will continue to bless all of us as we gather together. And all those who have joined us, I'd like to just welcome all of you in Jesus' name. So we're going to look at chapter 5, basically from here, from the Bible study book itself. And then at certain parts, we shall be reading from chapter 7 of Becoming Like Jesus. So let's start looking at chapter 5, Victory Over Self. Now, you will remember that from all that we have studied, we have looked at the fact that Mr. Flesh is the enemy within. We have seen that it cannot be improved upon. It cannot be tamed. We have noticed that it's too sick to be healed. As we read in Jeremiah chapter 17, we have found that it's an impossible road to heaven. So following the flesh, no matter how you try, it's not going to lead you anywhere. And we saw that even if you want to put rules and regulations, the law, the Bible said the law was good, but it has been weakened by the flesh. The flesh has made it impossible for the law to even regulate whatever you are trying to do. So we saw that the only way out that we are looking at is that the verdict that God has put on Mr. Flesh is that he is corrupt through and through. And that it is not just that it was corrupt, it is growing corrupt. That is to say, it doesn't improve. It can only diminish all the time. Such that if you think somebody started to practice immorality at the age of 15, that maybe when he becomes 60, he will have improved. No, it doesn't happen like that. Mr. Flesh only grows corrupt and it increases more and more in its wickedness. So we saw that the only way out, which is what we want to study today, is that it cannot be improved upon, it cannot be tamed, and it is not possible to serve two masters. You can't say, okay, if I cannot overcome the flesh, let me just get an addendum or let me just get a little connection with the Spirit so that at least I'll be serving the Lord on the side. We saw that it is not possible for the flesh and the Spirit to work together. The Bible says a servant cannot serve two masters. You either choose one and let the other one go. Galatians 5:17 that we read finally, I think let me ask us to start from there before we go to our chapter itself. Galatians 5:17. Sister Jenna, we'd like to read Galatians 5:17 just for us to come to the point where we stopped last time. 5:17.
Yes, Galatians 5:17 in the King James Version.
All right.
For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Hmm. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
You see, amen. These two are contrary, the one to another. And this is why you cannot do what you have wanted to do. So the question is not, oh, let me be a man of dual nature. God is not proposing that our victory is to be a man of dual nature. That in the morning you are in the spirit and in the evening you are in the flesh. Or you start in the morning in the spirit and suddenly in the middle of the things, Mr. Flesh takes over. And you say, okay, well, I just dabble into the flesh at that point, let me return to the spirit. Now, a man of dual nature cannot do anything. So that's why you cannot do what you want to do. So we are noting that it is God's answer is not to have the flesh and the spirit struggling together in one man. We either choose one and let the other go. So we're going to be seeing that as the Lord is leading us in the course of today. But our main focus today is there a way out? Is there something that God has provided to give us a way out? And what is the way of victory over self-life? That's what we are concerned about. We have discussed that so much and we can continue. But our critical issue is not how much of self-life we know. We want to see what is the way out of it. Can we overcome it? Can we live a life that is different from that which is controlled by the flesh? And how do we get rid of his activities and the works and the things that he has done? And we have seen that all the pollution that we find in the church or in the workplace, all the issues that is causing marital disharmony between husband and wife, is nothing but the flesh. We have seen that it is the activities of the flesh. All the aggressive immorality that we have found, all the aggressive immorality of same-sex marriage and all of this, they are all the activities of Mr. Flesh. And unless the flesh is uprooted, there's no solution to all of this problem. And that's what we are saying, that God must show us the way out. So let's quickly pick that chapter 5 and we read the introduction. Let me read the introduction before we go on to pick our scriptures. There is a way out of the terrible predicament of Mr. Flesh. There is a way into God's abundant life. There is a complete and permanent remedy that God has already provided for you to be able to enter the higher life or the spiritual and consistently dwell on his holy ear. So the choice of whether you do gain that victory or not is deliberately left in your hands. May the Lord open your inner eyes to gain a revelation of this provision that God is making for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's quickly begin by looking at God's way out. And the first point we're going to deal with under God's way out is deny yourself. And deny yourself. We're going to pick Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And because of what we are going to be dealing with, it will be important for us to read that passage from several versions before we settle down. So we're all going to read it. So let me ask all of us to go into Luke 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Now I'll ask Sister Jeanette. She will start reading from her King James version of the New King James. And then we will start reading. If we have good news, if we have Phillips Modern English, any version we have, we are going to try to put them together. And if it is possible, I will be asking all of you that are with us to please, this time, if it is possible for you to make a note of the passages we are going to read from all the versions, so as to be able to define what do we mean by the word deny. And because it's a very important word, he said, Jesus said, whosoever will be a disciple of mine, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So we're going to be seeking an understanding of the word deny as we look at it in the scripture. So can we pick it up now? Sister Jenny, you are starting with Luke 9:23 from the New King James. And then Sarah, you can get it from Good News. Brother Clarence, you can help us to read it from the Amplified Bible. Do you have Amplified? I will be checking other things that I have here. Yes, let's go ahead.
Yes, sir, I have it. Mm-hmm.
New King James reads, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me."
Sister Sarah, which are your good news?
Mr. Deans, and he said to them all, anyone who wants to come with me must forget self, take up their cross every day, and follow me.
Right. Let me ask you to pick it up again. Verse 23 from Good News.
And he said to them all, anyone who wants to come with me must forget self. Must forget self.
Yes.
Take up their cross every day and follow me.
All right.
Amen.
Anyone who wants to come with me, he must forget self first. So when the New King James or the Old King James used "let him deny himself," we saw that the word that Good News is bringing in is "let him forget self first." Let him forget self first. And you must forget yourself, take up your cross every day, and follow me. Thank you very much. Right? Can we now go to Amplified Bible from Brother Clarence?
Yes, sir. The Amplified says, "And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, he must deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Cleave steadfast to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also."
All right. Now, before we leave you, I'd like you to repeat it so that I can highlight all the various alternate meaning of the word deny himself. So let's get back to your reading. Amplified chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23 in the Amplified. Yes?
Yes, sir. "And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself."
Yes.
"Disown himself."
All right. So please take note. We're saying to deny himself means to disown himself. To disown. To withdraw ownership. To disown himself. Yes?
Forget.
To forget himself. Yeah?
Lose sight of himself.
To lose sight of himself.
And his own interests.
And his own interests.
Refuse himself.
To refuse himself.
And give up himself.
And give up himself. Let me go over the words again. To deny himself means to disown himself. To forget himself. To lose sight of himself. And of his own interests. To refuse himself, as if to say no to yourself, and give up himself. This will be the meaning of the word to deny. As we are looking at that, let me see whether Phyllis Modern English Phyllis Mother English said, "Then he spoke to them all. If anyone wants to follow in my footsteps, he must give up all right to himself." He must give up all right to himself. So the point we are noting there is to give up all right to yourself. Everything that makes you to think that I have a right to myself. And Jesus is saying, if you really want to come with me, if you want to be my disciple, let him give up all right to himself. That is to say, whatever you thought was a right to yourself must go. It must go. Now, so let's go quickly. And now, so we are looking at, so what does it mean to deny self? And we have looked at it from all the various renderings. And we said it means, one, to deny yourself means it's not just to deny your clothes. It's not just to deny, you know, sometimes when you think we are talking of self-denial, we are talking about, okay, if I can sleep on a good bed, let me deny myself of the bed and sleep on the mat. No, we are not talking first about something external to you. You will notice that he's doing, say, let him throw away his money. The truth of the matter is that, yes, you can give out money, and yet yourself is intact. So when he used the word, let him deny himself, I want you to catch it now. It means to forget himself. You see, it's different from let him forget his things. We're not saying let him forget his property. So what Jesus is actually demanding is not first about things that are external to us. He's talking about who we are, your very self. So when he said, let him forget himself, and from what Sister Sarah read in Good News, he said, you must forget yourself. The entirety of who you are, you must forget it. So self-life, with all his achievements, God is saying, let him forget himself. Let him say no to himself. Let him say no to himself. I think that is what how the Living Bible put it. Say, let him say no to himself. And the equivalence of that in what we have read is to refuse himself. When you say no to yourself, as if that which yourself is demanding, you have said no. No to yourself. No to self. Now, please take note that as we are talking, we are not talking about letting deny another person's self. No one else can deny another self for himself, for them. It is you. So what I mean now is that a husband cannot come to the altar and say, oh Lord, I am denying my wife's self. No. It is the wife that will have to deny herself. The husband will have to say no to himself. So let's take note that this condition that Jesus is setting is personal. And it can only be personally applied. And it is applied and applicable not to something external to you. Even if you are giving up anything that is external to you, it is only secondary. The real thing is you that God is saying is not good enough. It is your self-life that God is saying cannot make it. It's an impossible road to heaven. And from all that we studied in the last 2 weeks, you will notice that Mr. Self has different ways in which he manifests itself, all the products that he brings about, For some, it's anger. For some, it is just vanity. Vanity, just a desire to show off. Some, the flesh just wants to show forth how much it has. Now, all of that, it is the man inside that God is saying, let him deny himself. Let him say no to himself. Let him disown. So the word means to disown. And I was looking for any other simpler way to have described the word to disown. And I can remember that in some situation, you see a parent say, I disown this child. To the extent they are saying, don't bear my son's name again. So when you talk about disown, it means to cut off, to withdraw ownership from, and to refuse identification with. That's what it means to disown. And we're hearing the word of God saying, any of you that wants to be a follower of mine, let him disown himself. Let him lose the right to himself. Let him give up himself. Let him lose sight of himself and of his own interests. Let him lose sight of himself and all that amounts to himself. I don't know how to put that. All that is put together and it defines as who you are. He said, no, let him lose sight of that and of his own interest. Let him refuse. Now, the word refuse means even when self is making a demand to keep saying, no, you can't have your way. Every time you say, but is it not my right? Say, no, we have given up that right. To refuse yourself and to give up yourself. Other words that we are introducing here, which we read from other versions, say, let him renounce himself. Let him renounce himself. I think the word renounce comes from the New Jerusalem Bible. The New Jerusalem Bible says, then speaking to all, he said, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. Now, the reason why I'm going through all this is because the first thing you need to know is how much the Lord Jesus Christ placed emphasis on getting rid of self-life. Sometimes because we are not diligent to study the Word of God, or we are not willing to confront self the way God confronted it, we have brushed that thing aside. We have spoken about it as if it didn't matter much. We have said, well, some people will see somewhere say, even the way Bragule is preaching this now, who we believe, who we come. But I want you to know that is what Jesus said to all. That's the condition he placed upon any man who wishes to walk in his footsteps. Anyone who wants to be his disciple. That's what he said to them. And all those who became his apostles, that's the condition they faced. All those who carried and spearheaded the purpose of God about in their generation, and it was effective and acceptable to God, that is the condition that was a place before them. Let him renounce himself. Leave self behind. The word to leave self behind. That comes to us from other versions. Let him leave himself behind. Must say no to himself. That's what good news, I mean God's word. If you have the version called God's word, that's how it comes about. There is a version called clear word. They all gave up all of this. If any man has a desire to come after me, let him give up all. Must give up all. All right to himself. He must disregard yourself, put aside yourself, ignore yourself, and let us now look at each of these renderings, one after the other, as the Lord will be helping us today. Now, all we are dealing with this in this Bible study today, we are looking at, so how does God want us to get out of the natural life, of the flesh, so that we can have the life of the Spirit, the life that is compatible with the purpose of God, the life that Christ wants to offer us. Now, and as we are doing this, I want you to please follow us step by step. Now, we are going to look at forget yourself. What will it mean to forget self? Now, let's quickly pick Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. We start with Sister Jeanette.
Matthew 26 from New King James, beginning verse 48. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?"
Right.
It must happen thus. Amen.
It must happen thus. This hour it must happen. Now let's look at Matthew 27, 12 to 14. Sister Sarah.
Amen. Matthew 27, 12 to 14. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witnesses against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, in so much that the governor marveled greatly. Do I continue 25 to 31 or not?
All right, yes.
Okay. Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then release ye Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knees before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him.
Thank you. Thank you. And first that 2:23, Brother Clarence.
1 Peter 2:23 says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Mm-hmm. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously."
Thank you very much. Now, look at the passages we have read. We are looking at a typical case of forgetting yourself. Now, we saw here Jesus, all the references, they were pointing to Christ. And I want you to see that in Matthew 26, when a betrayer came, when Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, came, and the man had already said, "Whosoever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." And of course, Jesus already knew that that was what he was coming to do. If Jesus will not forget himself, and forget his authority, and forget his glory, and forget his power, what could he have done? As Judas is approaching, he just said, "Judas, you thought I'm such you can just come and catch me cheaply like that? Let both your hand and your leg and your mouth get frozen right now." And it would have just happened. Judas Iscariot would have just become like a dry fish. Would not be able to move anywhere. And Jesus would have said, "Yes, I just want you to know that I'm not such someone you can trifle with like that." And would have walked away. And would have said, "God, this man is very powerful." But you see, what did Jesus do? Even though he has all it takes to be God, even though he has all the right, even to 12 legions of angels who will have come and fought on his behalf and dislodged all the army of Israel at once, and everybody will have known that the Son of the Living God is in charge, he forgot himself. He forgot his interests. He forgot his position. He looked away from his privileges and his rights and allowed himself to be so taken to the extent that the Bible said, while they were doing that, one of his disciples carried a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off the man's hair. And I imagine what that brother would have said. He said, "You think he doesn't have people to defend him? You think we are just following him for nothing? We are here to fight for him." And he cut off the hair of the man. But look at Jesus. He said to him, "Put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Do you know do you think I cannot now even ask my Father right now?" So again, we are seeing Jesus, who could use legitimate power, legitimate provision of his relationship, even with the Father, to ask. Sometimes I hear my brothers, when they are praying, they say, they call fire on their enemy. So that man that does not want me to get promoted, let fire roast him up so that he will know that I'm a man of God. Now look at Jesus. He was not going to call down fire on any man. He was not going to even ask the Father to send angels to defend himself. He was ready to let self go. So you see, what I'm looking at here is that to forget self is much more than just forgetting bad things. We're not just talking about forgetting the wrong things. You know, I told you last time that Mr. Flesh has bad sinful works that we are eager to quickly do away with. But the flesh also has things that appear seemingly good, that you would like to display, you would like to show. And all of that also must go. Because anything that is born of the flesh, the Bible said, is flesh. And it cannot please God. But here we see Jesus, the legitimate authority to pray, to call for his Father to send angels, 12 legions of angels, to come and defend him, would not have been anything wrong. To defend himself against those who have come against him with sword and cudgel would not have been wrong. But you see, even in that, Jesus was willing to let self go. Even when self is not sinful. I don't know how you understand me now. Even when self does not appear to be wrong, Jesus was willing to let it go. Was willing to release himself so that he can, he said, so that the scripture can be fulfilled, that it must open doors. Now, in the next chapter that Sister Sarah had read, you saw that in that chapter, chapter 27, the Lord Jesus again was facing Pilate. And if Jesus were just to give a defense of himself, that case would have been finished straight away. And if he had just spoken, the Bible says, you can imagine that men like Joseph, men like Daniel, when they speak, nobody can resist the wisdom with which they speak. If Jesus were going to give a word in defense of himself, even Pilate himself would not know what to do. And all the people of Israel would have just been held bound. They can't do anything. But the Bible said, he kept quiet. Even while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And if you go and read your Bible very well, these chief priests and elders that were accusing him, they went as suborned sons of Belial. They went and got professional liars who came and were deliberately telling and creating lies that has never happened. And Jesus never thought it was necessary to defend himself. He never thought it was something wonderful to protect self. He said no to that. He forgot himself. And that was why he could go to the cross on our behalf. Now, when Pilate asked him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? Even Pilate himself knew that all the things they are saying against him could not have been true. And he was only waiting for Jesus to say a word of self-defense. He never did. But he answered him not one word, so that the governor was greatly, we are told that the governor marveled greatly. He was so surprised and said, what kind of man is this? See everything they have leveled against yourself and you are saying nothing. Not to even say, God will judge. I imagine some of you, when people are telling fantastic lies about you, that is likely to defame your name. Immediately you start calling God down. Say, God, if you are God, come and show them now that they are telling lies. But here is Jesus Christ, he was not going to do that. This is the difference between Jesus, Moses. This is the difference between Jesus and Elijah. You remember when Moses stood and said, if I'm a man of God, let this man not die the way normal people die. Let the ground just open up and swallow them alive, if I'm a man of God. And because he's a man of God, he was only asking God to authenticate his relationship with God. The ground broke open and they were swallowed alive. Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come and roast these people alive. And 50 men and their commander was roasted alive. And another answer came, he did the same. Until they began to beg him and say, sir, we know you are a man of God. And we know that you are a powerful man of God. But just please let our life be precious in your sight. We are doing what they told us to come and do. Please, please, we beg. Now you say, yes, now that you know I'm a man of God, then go and tell your master that I'm coming there. So you see, sometimes self will even like to use the power of the Holy Spirit to defend self. Self would like to show people that, yes, you don't know that I'm not just a mere man, I'm a man of God. And whatever I tell God to do, he will do it now. If I tell God to kill you now, he will just finish you overnight. Now, all of those things that I hear our brothers, our sisters use on their pulpit, I hear them declare it on the road, I hear it threatening, somebody is threatening the other person in the office, and all of that, they are all the manifestation of self-life. But we saw Jesus, even when he was not going to do it for something evil, he let self go. Now, we're looking at what it means to deny, to say no to yourself or to forget yourself behind. Let me ask Sister Sarah to read the summary under that number A that we are reading.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Forget self. Jesus, though the Son of God, forgot himself in the face of suffering. Even though he had power to defend himself, since God the Father, allowing the suffering of death on the cross to him, even when he was crying in pain, he was insulted. It was painful to the flesh or human nature. Yet he did not insult back. That is what it means to deny self.
Yeah.
What do you do when you are insulted or cheated?
All right, thank you. So we're noting that Jesus, even though he was God, and he had power to defend himself, and he could have called for legions of angels, and they would be at his beck and call. And even though, if he just offered one word of prayer, heaven cannot hold back. And even if he were just to confront all the people that were accusing him, they would have been wrote by themselves, and they would have been the one condemned. And even though Jesus has such a wisdom that even Pilate cannot withstand, yet if he let all of those things, he forgot himself, allowed himself to be accused. He allowed himself to suffer the suffering of death on the cross. He refused to remember himself and defend it. Even when he was crying in pain, he was insulted, and it was not painful. It was very painful to the flesh, to his human nature, yet he did not insult back. This is what we are saying when Jesus chose to deny himself. He will not do anything to defend or keep self, or make self to assert himself in any situation. That's what it means when we say, let him deny himself, or let him forget himself. The second point we want to look at, let him say no to yourself and refuse yourself. Let him say no. Now we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 16, and we're reading from verse 5 to 12. Brother Clarence, you are the one to pick that for us now. And 2 Samuel 19, 18 to 23, Sister Jenna, you will help us with that.
Yes, sir. 2 Samuel 16, 5 to 12 says, and when King David came to Barulim, behold, hence came a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shemuel. and the son of Gera, and he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at the servants of the king of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were with his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thy bloody man, thou and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whomstead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into your hands of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, I'm going to get those names right, to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have to do with you, ye son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David, whom shall say to them, say, whereas hast thou done? And David said to Abishai and all the servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now many this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord has bitten him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine afflictions, and the Lord will requite me good for the cursing this day.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go ahead and pick chapter 19, 18 to 23, Sister Janelle.
Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought was good. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Amen.
All right, thank you. Thank you for this. I want you to look at the two stories we have read, the two passages. I want you to see the issues we are raising there. Now, here was this young man called Shimei, or Shimei, who went out when David was running away from Absalom. Perhaps he thought that David's life is finished. He came out presumptuously to curse him. And if you look at the way the man was speaking and accusing David in that chapter 16, I just want to highlight some of what he said. Now, we are told that Shimei, the son of Gera, coming out from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came. Not that he just spoke once, he was cursing David continuously. Even if David were to listen at once and say, okay, forget. But here is this boy repeating it over and over and over as he came. And look at what he was saying. He threw stones, not just that he was cursing him, he was throwing stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and his left. And Shimei said, come out, you blood-thirsty man, you rogue. Look at the kind of language he was using. You rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a blood-thirsty man. Look at the way he was speaking. Look at the accusation he was putting on David. How many people in Saul's family has David ever killed? If you look back, you will notice that David never even touched, the day he even caught the skirt of his gown, he came back and confessed to him. Saul was at his mercy many times, but he never touched him. Now, why am I bringing this out? I'm bringing out to show you that, you know, there are times when self has something to brag about. When yourself has done this, I did this, I protected your father, I did not allow him to die, I did not do that, and you are now here to curse me. Even if there's nothing in your mouth, you can just say, God Almighty will punish you. Because what you are saying, you are saying it out of malice. You would have thought it was your right to do that. But look at David here. We are seeing that David, rather than listening, look at what one of his commanders, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said. Why should this dead dog, this boy is a dead dog, why should he curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head at once. But the king said to Abishai, what do I have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? And if you look at what he calls Zeruiah, that is the senior sister of Brother David. And you know, these are people that are his relatives. He was their uncle. And he was saying, no, what do I have to do? You sons of Zeruiah, what? You're a trouble to me. You're a trouble to me. Let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. I wonder whether God actually has said to him, when you decide to forget yourself, when you decide to say no to yourself, when you are ready to let self go, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter how wrong they are treating you. It's no more about yourself. All that matters to you is what is God allowing. So the Bible said, David said, maybe it's God that has allowed him to come and curse me today. And why do I need to worry? Maybe the Lord spoke to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all the servants, see, how my own son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamin? Let him alone, let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. That's how he did. But look at the way the Bible reported, if you were reading. Say, as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and leaped up and kicked up dust. To the point that, you know, it was a constant provocation.
It was not a one-time provocation. He was provoking David. He was provoking his men. He was provoking anybody that had anything to do, they would have killed him. But because David was willing to deny himself, to say no to what could have been his ability, this man went on and on and on and on and on and on, as long as when he was throwing stones, he was kicking up dust, he was raising dust and blowing it upon David and his men. Now when God gave the victory, and David has won, and Absalom is dead, and he was returning back to the throne, can you imagine one of the first people that came out? It was Shimei. You know, it was very, very touchy. The man came out and began to talk again and began to say, look, I'm sorry that I've caused you and all of this. And one of his servants, again, Abishai, said, shouldn't this man be killed for what he has done? Should we allow this kind of carelessness in the land? And again, look at what David did. These are the issues I'm raising when self is gone. We're only using this as an illustration to understand what does it mean to deny self? What does it mean to say no to yourself? So that when we begin to face this condition, you will be saying, Lord, I have understood what you are asking me to do. There are people that has provoked yourself to a point that you felt like doing something. But you see, we saw that this man will not do that. Will not do that. And so, David, that's what he did in chapter 19. He again restrained Abishai from going back to fall on that young man. That's what he did again. Now, then he said to the king, do not let my Lord impute iniquity to me, and remember what wrong your servant did on the day that the Lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here am I, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet you, my Lord the king. And Abishai said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this? You told us to keep quiet before. Again, look at what he has come to do now. Shouldn't we finish him? This dead dog. David again said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? You know, I was just looking at that. Why will you be an adversary to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? Do I not know that today I'm king over Israel? So what is the need for revenge? You're an adversary to me. You know, I was hearing him speak as if, like Jesus was speaking to Peter. Said, you are an offense to me. Satan, get it behind me, because you are not thinking the way God thinks. You are thinking as a human being. We did that. We studied that last week and 2 weeks ago. Now, so today, what is it that we are noting here? We are noting that to deny self, to refuse yourself, to let go what could have been your legitimate right, is what we are talking about, to deny self. Let me ask Brother Clarence to read that small summary. David suffered insult. Can you try to read it from your book?
Yes, sir. David suffered insult and reproach unjustly from a subordinate, the self of Abishai. One of his followers was aroused and suggested revenge to David. Yet David will not allow himself to be provoked to anger. He said no to the flesh and took it calmly. The Lord eventually defended him and made his adversary to bow before him. God defend only those who say no to self and refuse to defend self. You cannot be a follower of Christ until you learn to say no to yourself and your own interests.
Thank you very much. Now we're looking at what does it mean to disown self. You see, all that we are dealing with, we are just trying to understand and unpack the word letting deny himself. And we are looking at all that it means to say no to self, to let self go, to leave self behind. Now let's turn to Philippians 3, verse 4 to 9. Philippians 3, 4 to 9. Let's ask Sister Sarah to pick that up, while Sister Janelle will help us read Acts chapter 16, 1 to 3.
Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 9. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for excellency of the knowledge Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Can we pick 16? 1 to 3?
Acts 16. In New King James. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him, because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Amen.
Thank you very much. So, let's look at what we are talking about when we talk about disown himself. We saw Paul looking at all the credentials that anybody could be proud about. All the credentials. Let me go back again. He said, though, if anybody claims, let me pick it. I want to pick it from the Amplified Bible. Said, though for myself, I have at least grounds to rely on the flesh. If any man considers that he has or seem to have reason to rely on the flesh and his physical and outward advantages, I have still more. Look at the catalog. Circumcised when I was 8 days old, of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew and the son of Hebrews. As to the observance of the law, I was of the party of the Pharisees. As to my zeal, I was a persecutor of the church, and by the law standard of righteousness, supposed justice, uprightness, and right standing with God, I was proven to be blameless, and have no fault was found with me. So, you know, he was talking about, look, if you are talking of original evil, if you are talking about the real Hebrew, some Hebrew of Hebrews, I'm not an hybrid. And you are talking about if anybody has credential in the law, I'm a Pharisee. And to be a Pharisee means he has mastery of scripture from Genesis to Malachi. And he can stand and teach He was recognized as a teacher. So all these are credentials that by which he could have been boasting, could have relied on himself, on the flesh. So much more than that, I was even circumcised on the 8th day. And as regards zeal, I took it upon myself to persecute the church. These are things that people boast about. Sometimes when I meet people, they talk about, oh, I had my first degree in this, I had my master's that, I did 2 PhDs, and I've done dissertation here, I have traveled there, I have traveled there, and all of that. Just to embellish themselves. Just to help people to recognize that you are talking to Mr. Somebody here. Sometimes when they list all their credentials, it will be written more than in 2-3 sentences or lines. Just to prove that, look, I've been this, I've been that. Why nobody is robbing you of it because it's yours. Yet when you want to become a man after the step of Jesus, you will lay all of that down. You will disown it and put it down. Again, I want to note here that it is Jesus' name, let him deny himself. Not that somebody will deny you of yourself. Please take note now. Nobody will snatch it from you. If you have your credentials and you have all this, it belongs to you. Nobody must rob you of it. So nobody will do it for you. That's why in discipleship, it's not about pulling down people. It's not about saying, well, whatever you are, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a professor, we don't care here, sit down there. No. If a man is clinging to his professorial seat and is clinging to what is his own according to himself, we must wait for him to deny himself by himself. You don't deny him of what he has. So discipleship is not about going to rubbish people and pull them down by force. No. Let him deny himself. And Jesus will never force you to do it. You have to do it by yourself. So when the rich young ruler came and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him everything and said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you come back, take up your cross, and begin to follow me. The man could not, and Jesus said, well, it's okay if you cannot. He did not run after him. He did not lower the standard, and yet did not force him to meet the standard. So when we are talking about this, let's keep knowing that the Bible says, let him deny himself. Let him forget himself. Let him disown himself. It is you that will do it by yourself and for yourself. No one must do it for you. No one must deny you of your rights. That would be a different oppression. Discipleship is not about oppressing people or downgrading people or by taking away their self-rights. No. It is this individual that will deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. So we saw again in the life of the life of Paul here, he was willing to let go. He did it by himself. And we brought the example of Brother Timothy that, you know, it's a great pride in those days to be a Greek. But because he was going to follow in discipleship, he gave up that. And he had to be circumcised. He was circumcised at old age because he wanted to be in discipleship with Paul. Now, let's quickly note here that each one that wants to follow Jesus had to disown himself, separate or dissociate himself from these credentials to become nothing in order to follow Jesus. What are your own credentials in life? Or what are the things you are so proud of? You cannot follow Jesus with such a luggage. The road is narrow. Let him disown himself. Now, we are looking at let him leave self behind and give up all rights to himself. Let him leave yourself behind and give up all rights to yourself. Now, let's pick some quick passages here as we read. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3 to 6. We start with Sister Sarah. 1 Corinthians 9, 3 to 6 and 12 to 14. 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21. Brother Clarence. And Genesis 11. I will ask our sister to read verse 26 to 29. And then Genesis 12, 1 to 4. Sister Jenna, you read the two Genesis for us. Shall we try? 1 Corinthians 9.
Verse 3 to 6. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas, or I only and Barnabas? Have not we power to forbear working? No.
Can you go to verse 12?
Sure.
12 to 14.
If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
Amen. Right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can we go now to 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21.
Yes, sir. 1 Kings 19, 19 to 21 says, so he departed hence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him. And he was with the twelve. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran to Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I to do with thee? And he returned back from him, and he took the yoke of oxen and slew them, and bore their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave them to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and minister unto him.
All right, thank you very much. Another version said, and he became his servant. Now, Genesis 11, 26 to 29, is and Genesis 12, 1 to 4.
Yes. Genesis 11, beginning at verse 26. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran. the father of Milcah and the father of Ishka. And Genesis 12:1-4. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your father and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Amen.
Thank you very much. We are looking at letting leave self behind, letting give up all right to himself. Now we are read in 1 Corinthians 9, and we saw the rights or the privileges or the power of a minister of the gospel. The things that he was entitled to. And we saw Paul saying, don't we also have this right? Don't we also have this power? Don't we also have this right over you? Is it not even actually written in the scriptures that those who minister by the altar should eat from the altar? This was their right. But now we are seeing a man who is living up his rights, giving up his rights in order to follow in the footstep of the master. So sometimes what we are talking about when we say let him deny himself is not just that you are denying bad things. It's that some legitimate rights that are rights in themselves. But when you now want to go forward and allow Christ's life, you are saying, let it go. Let it go. So, whereas, when we talk about let him deny self, let him say no to self, we first of all want to look at self that is wrong, self that is sinful. But what of self that is right? What of self that has its own legitimate right? He said, they gave it all up in order to follow him. And so we saw in 1 Kings 19 how Brother Elisha had to meet the same condition. And he had to let go. Even when Elijah dropped the mantle on him and he ran, he said, please let me go and kiss my father and my mother. The point he was raising there is that, look, there are family obligations that I need to quickly go and discharge. And Elijah said, what have I done to you? That's not my business. Go back again. But you will see that going back again, what did he do? He went and slaughtered the oxen and used the meat thereof to dismiss everybody and tell them that enough is enough, I've been called. So you see, Elijah did not do it for him. No one will deny yourself for you. If it's a genuine experience of Christ you are going to have, it is not an organized, general denier of yourself. It is not a discipler that will say, yes, we are denying you of this so that you can be dead to self. No. Nobody should take away your rights because they want you to become disciple. No. It is you yourself. Let him deny himself. A situation where disciples or people are put under pressure not to exercise what they would have loved to do by themselves for themselves. Because they say, well, if you're a disciple, you don't do this, you don't do this, don't do this. It falls short of biblical provision. In the word of God, let him deny himself. Nobody can do it for you, and nobody should do it for you. Nobody should be the one that forced you into it. Jesus did not force men into it. And those of you that are leaders and want to raise disciples for the Lord, please let's make it clear to you that it is not your right, it's not your duty to deny a disciple of himself. No. He must have his rights, he must have his liberty, he must have what belongs to him. It is him that will by himself lay it down, forget it, renounce it, give up the right to himself by himself. Discipleship is not about degradation of other people or humiliation of other people or snatching the right of other people to be themselves. If it is like that, then that will be bondage. That will be an imprisoning kind of system. That's not what God is looking for. It's whosoever will, and it must be you doing it by yourself and for yourself and in yourself. This is very important. So when God was calling Brother Abraham, Abraham needed to leave behind all that was his right. He would leave his country, he would leave relative and all of that. And we saw that it was him that took that decision. Very important, and I want us to note that. So let me ask Sister Jenna to now read the summary under that number D for us. We will try to finish that section so that we can pick a little more and then stop for today. We can't go beyond here because I'm looking at our time. Yes, can we go ahead, Sister Jenna?
Yes. Paul had a right to eat and drink wherever he preached the gospel. It is a God-given right. He had a right to get married and go preaching about with his wife. Yet for the sake of the gospel, he denied himself of all these. He gave up his rights in order to follow Jesus. Elisha did the same. So also did Abraham, the firstborn son of his father. What rights do we normally claim and cling to in our society today? What right have you been clinging to that will not allow you to follow Jesus wholly? Give it up and the Lord will receive you.
Thank you very much. So when we talk about let him deny himself, we are talking about what you can voluntarily, after an understanding that yes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus, that's why you are saying no to yourself in this, no to yourself in that, and all of that. But don't forget that it's self, your life, your self-life, that is first the key. Not even your things, not even your clothes, not even the house. If houses and all of that come, they come in because self that used to cling to it is already being renounced. It's already being put down. But I must say, as I keep emphasizing, that Jesus did not say someone will do it for you. Don't let it be that you will have loved to have something, but because they denied you of it. No. Don't let it be because you're in a situation and the rules and regulations say you must not do this, you must not do that, you must not do that, even though you would have loved to do it. But because it's a standing rule that nobody wants to be a disciple, must do that, that's why you try to conform. No, no, that's not yet the biblical discipleship. That would be a kind of self, human bondage, and it doesn't lead anywhere. It only produces hypocrites. Because when you go to where you can exercise your right, you will pick your right very gladly. And you say, well, thank God I'm out of that cage. And whenever you are going back there, you try to hide those things and try to conform. We are not talking about external conformity. We are not looking for uniform. We are looking for a life that has been laid down so that Jesus can give you a life that is higher and better. Let him disregard and ignore self. In John chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, let's quickly attempt to read those things. John chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, 31 to 34, we meet the woman of Samaria, and we see how Jesus was going to respond to this. John 4, 6 to 8, let's start with Sister Jenna in that, and verse 31 to 34, and Acts 21, verse 8 to 14, we will ask Sister Sarah to read that for us quickly.
John 4. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down to rest by the well. Oh, excuse me, in Amplified. Now, in New King James, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And verse 31 to 34. Yes, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Amen.
His work. Thank you. 21, 8 to 14.
Amen.
Yes.
21, 8 to 14 from the King James Version. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of Gentiles." And when we heard these things, we both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to sweep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done."
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So again, we are seeing issues here. We saw the Lord Jesus, who we rather disregard and ignore the need to satisfy himself in order to serve and to attend to the need of the woman of Samaria. We saw that Jesus actually sat at that well because he was tired, he was wearied of his journey, and he was hungry and thirsty. And his disciples went to the city to go and buy food and see what happened from that story, and how you will not even eat that again because there is a life to be affected. And just said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to do and to finish his work." So we saw that though Jesus was hungry and tired, he disregarded and ignored the cry of self for hunger when he saw an opportunity to win the loss to the kingdom. In our own case, we yourself not confess. Will you not first seek out to satisfy yourself before you hurt someone else? And in the Acts we read, we saw Paul saying, I am ready not only to be bound, but to die. When people are saying, but there's a way in which you could protect yourself. You don't have to go to this Jerusalem and say, no. I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. So we are seeing people that ignored every attempt for self to be preserved, for self to be kept, for self to be, you know, defended. Now, the last portion that we want to look at quickly is to look at men who refuse to deny self. Those who are clinging to their self-life, what did they get? Now, we won't be able to read all those scriptures because of my time, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to pick that up. You know, you can read them, because that's where I want to stop now. We look at the first illustration. We saw Jacob. We saw how Jacob, even when God appeared to him, one thing that I saw with Joseph was that he was willing to keep himself. He was willing to defend himself. In fact, the prayer you thought he prayed in Genesis 28 was simply say, if you will keep me, if you will provide for me, if you will do this for me, then, not now, then you will be my God. Then whatever you give me, anything you give me, I will give you a tithe of them. I'll give you a 10% of them. He was bargaining. I wonder why he did not give God 90% and kept one for himself. That's how self-life is. And it is not anything. It's only if God will take me to where I'm going, if he will give me food, if it will give me clothes, if it will settle me, and if anything, then I'll give you. But if you don't give me anything, you don't get anything. That's how he talked. He did not commit himself to the Lord at that point. It was only when you come to chapter 32 that you saw God breaking his tie. So he did not enter the land of promise on his two legs. He was limping and leaning upon a staff, which God had used to help his life. If you cling to yourself now, you will lose it. That's what Jesus said. And look at Gehazi. Even though he stayed with the man of God, even though he had the opportunity as a disciple, he never gave up himself. He was following, but self was always his own consideration. Until he had to run after the leper to collect all the man brought. And eventually he himself became leprous. And he went out of what could have been his glorious inheritance. He could have been the one holding the double portion of the anointing on Elisha, which would have been four times what was on Elijah. And he could have been even much more. But unfortunately, he went out a leper, because he will not let self go. The rich young ruler, which we have been referring to over and over again, who came asking, what must I do to have eternal life? He also went away sorrowfully, because he cannot let self go. He will not allow himself to be released. And so he went away. You gain nothing by clinging to the flesh. In fact, you have all to lose. You cannot hold tightly to yourself and still hope to hold on to the Lord. So our first matter tonight, which is a way out, is let him deny himself. For self to lose hold on your life, you must be ready to let him go. Now, we don't have much time again, but I will introduce chapter 7 from the Becoming Like Jesus. We just take about the first two pages and we will stop there, hoping that when we come next, we will now pick and read all of that as the Lord will permit us. Now, let me ask Sister Jenna to read the way out. And before you get to that chapter 7, you will see the prescript that comes before the chapter 7. You will see it, the way out. Can you read that out for us?
Yes, sir. The way out. Having discussed what is self to this point, in order for us to understand the conditions Jesus laid for any man to become his disciple, we will need to study what he expects us to do to the self-life.
All right, so we're going to chapter 7 now.
What then is the way out? Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. To gain a depth of insight into how to handle self or Mr. Flesh, we must study very closely the word deny. Let him deny himself. What does it mean to deny self? Looking at this verse of our study from the book of Luke and from various versions of the English Bible, we discover several shades of renderings which help to point to the various understandings in which the word deny could be applied. While the King James Version, Revised Standard Version, New International Version, and Beck's translation all use the word deny, other versions, such as the Good News Bible, New English Bible, Phillips Modern, the Living Bible, the Jerusalem Bible, use several different terms, such as forget himself, say no to himself and his own interests, disown himself, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up self, renounce himself, leave self behind, give up all rights to himself, disregard self, put aside and ignore self. Behind that simple statement from the mouth of our Lord Jesus lies the essence of our consecration. A proper understanding of this issue will help you focus your life properly and to walk even as he walked. As we pick each of these renderings for study, I urge you to examine your heart and find their implications for your life personally. This is because we have defined self as the totality of a man's personality, the complete identity with which each man is known and which determines his character, his ambition, his concepts, his goals, and his ego. Self is not just a habit to be discarded. It is the natural life which each man was born to live in this world. It is not just one sin or vice in us. It is the totality of our person. It forms a man's knowledge and understanding, and it is the basis of his opinions about himself and even others far and near.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Jenny. I think we're going to stop at that point for today. I just wanted to introduce that, but I will ask that before we come back next week, I will ask all of us that are having the Becoming Like Jesus, I would like you to read up to page 179, just to refresh your mind on all we are saying about what it means to deny self, to forget self, and to lose sight of ourselves, to wipe off completely from memory what our self is all about. Now, we read up to that page 179, so that when we come next, we are going to now begin with self is not tameable from this book. So please take note of that. You are picking it from page 170 that we are, and up to page 179. Please read and look at all of that. Then we'll come back next week to deal with what is the way out. But now, as we stop here to pray, one critical thing I want to say, and I've said over and over again in this class today, is that self is the totality of who you are. We're not talking about things. We're not talking of things that are external to you. We're not talking of things that you put on and you put off. We are talking about who you are. That thing that wants to defend itself inside of you. That thing that defines you, that makes you feel, no, they have insulted me now, they have done this to me now. Or that thing that makes you feel an achiever. Self that is defining itself by what he has put together and all of that. Jesus is saying, if you are going to be my disciple, if you are going to walk in my footsteps, if you are going to follow me the way you want to follow me, you must say no to self. You must let self go. You must leave yourself behind, whatever that means. All the illustrations we gave as we read scriptures, they were only illustrations of how individuals that we dealt with came to deny their own life self. Now, but for you, the root may not be the same. The anchor on which Mr. Seth is hanging your life may not be the same. What God needs to help you cut out, and it will be a denying of yourself, you need to identify it, because nobody must do it for you. Nobody, if it is not coming from you, from your heart, to honestly deny yourself, you will have not started. Because when those that are denying you, when they are no more there, you're going to pick yourself up. If it is externally done to you, it's not deep, it's not correct. That's oppression. Nobody should oppress you into discipleship. It has to be you making your choice. Let him deny himself. I want to say before I stop here, that many people tried to follow Jesus and they came in their thousands. But when he confronted them with this matter, you saw how they were going away. And Jesus said, will you also go away? Because the matter of following Jesus, the matter of carrying his life, has to be something that you have chosen. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you into this, even this afternoon, either in the class where you are, because I see several people sitting in different classes going through this Bible study. I see people that are sitting as a family. I see others that are meeting in small groups, sitting around this study. I want you to take time to pray right now. Nobody can do it for you. You are the one to do it for yourself. Will you be able to come before God tonight and say, Lord, I have heard you. I want to say no to myself. I want myself to be laid down. It's not about someone doing for me now. Nobody is oppressing me about it. It's me. It's my choice. I want to say no to self. And I know what myself has done to me over the years. Lord Jesus, I'm laying it down at your feet now. Shall we please bow down to pray together? Shall we call on God? And let it be you talking to God for yourself. Let it be you talking to God. This will be the beginning of the turning point of what God has been wanting to do in your life. Maybe you have been clinging to yourself for all the number of years, and you are saying that the more you do, the more you are losing out. Ask God, Lord, today, take self away. Let me begin to experience the remover of the weight of my self-life. And what God will do to it when we come back next week, we will be talking. But let's take this first step. Do you want self to go? Are you tired of self-life? And self that is angry, self that is always ambitious, agitated all the time, can you lay down? But what of that self that looks good, that looks very presentable, is still self-life, and you are living under the weight of it. You are doing everything to gain good impression. Can you bring that also and lay it at the feet of Jesus this afternoon as I pray. I want to pray with you wherever you are. And whatever decision you are taking, the Lord is seeing you. And the Holy Spirit is there urging and nudging you and say, self-life cannot inherit the kingdom. Flesh cannot please God. Flesh is contrary to the things of the Spirit, so you can't do what you want unless self must go. Say, they that belong to Christ, they have crucified their flesh with his passion and desire. Can you say, Lord, I'm bringing self out. Let it go, Lord. Let it go, Lord. Let it go, Lord. Father, thank you this evening or this morning. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. Some are back down here in Africa. Some are in the U.S. and Canada. Some are in Belize. Some are in different nations of the earth where they are following this. And you are saying, if any man wants to follow me, if any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself. Let him forget self. Let him give up the right to self. Let him renounce himself. You are not saying we should do something and take away some externality. You are talking about the man whom we used to be. Lord Jesus, as several are praying this prayer, please lay your hands, O God, upon them and lead them to the place, O God, where self is evacuated, where they can now freely see that, oh no, that lie that has held me down for 20 years, for 30 years, for 15 years, for 50 years, is now laid at the feet of the elder, laid at the foot of the cross, so that I may have another life to live. Lord, I'm asking that Jesus, you will take that space in their hearts right now. Whatever it is that they are letting go, whatever it is that they are laying down, oh Lord, take it and fill them afresh with the light from above. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Yes. Amen.
This has been Living Faith. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198, email address lsmedia@livingseed.org, or visit our website at www.livingseed.org.